The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
As we approach the climax of Romans chapter 8, we've come to a very reassuring passage about the Holy Spirit and how He helps our weaknesses. Don't our infirmities threaten to overcome us in this life? Mine sure do, especially in my prayer life. But the Holy Spirit is here to help us. He translates our feeble prayers into a language that is powerful before the Lord. Join us today as we begin to see how our Holy Helper, the Holy Ghost, helps us when we pray.
Tears flood my eyes.
Thank you.
In Romans chapter 8, we're down to verse 26 and 27. We want to deal with those this morning. In verse 26, it says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Now these two verses follow on what we have built so far in the book of Romans. Notice it begins there in verse 26 saying, "Likewise." So here we have a passage that is leading us up right before what I consider to be the climax of the book, verse 28. And it's laying some more groundwork for us. And we need to understand that what we're talking about here in these verses is our holy helper, the Spirit of God. Our holy helper. He is, in fact, that's his name, is the Parakletos, the Paraclete, the one who helps us. We'll talk about that again in a moment. We've dealt with that before. A big part of our lives as disciples should be prayer. And what we're going to deal specifically with here this morning is how the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayer life. Now think about your prayer life for a minute. You know, if there's any area of my life that needs improvement, it's my prayer life. You know, I try to read the scriptures. I try to stay in the Word. But you know, sometimes I just hit prayer licking a promise. You know, sometimes my prayer is like Peter, "Lord, save me." That's all I can do because I've gotten myself in a mess. Sometimes we use prayer like a lifeline, right? Like a man overboard who needs saving. I need a life vest. I need a life preserver. And we cry out to God in prayer. And sometimes that's the way it is. Sometimes we treat prayer like a little buffet of a grocery list or something where I need this and I need that and I need the other, and we give this to God and we try to hope he'll answer our prayers in the way we want it to be answered. But you know, I don't know about you, but I've found times in my life where I couldn't find the words to pray. I've been so low. I've been in the deepest, darkest valleys where I just didn't even know what to pray for, and I found myself to be in the position where I felt I couldn't pray. Have you ever been there? You ever felt that? You ever been to the point where you just felt like you couldn't pray, or even if you tried to pray, you couldn't get the words out and you couldn't say the right things? Well, I've got good news for you this morning. We've got a holy helper in our prayer life, in fact, in all parts of our life, an intercessor who prays for us even when we can't pray. He takes the prayers that we mess up and he translates them into groanings that cannot even be uttered. So I want to preach to you this morning about the Spirit of God who is our holy helper, particularly in our prayer life. Now, notice what he said. The Spirit helps our infirmities. Our infirmities. You know, I heard, I believe it was Sonny Pyle say that when he first started preaching, he tried to preach in a way that he would focus upon the greatness of God, and hopefully by doing that, he would get people to see how needy they were. But then he realized in his ministry, as he grew in his ministry, that his focus really needed to be upon how needy we are in order to point us toward how great God is. In other words, he kind of had it backwards. And that's the truth. We need to remember, we need to understand just how infirm we are. The word infirmity here is the Greek word asthenia. Asthenia. And it comes from, it. You know, I've told you this before, I think. In Greek, if you have a word in Greek that means one thing and you want to make it mean the opposite, you add the Greek letter alpha to it. It's our version A. It's the Greek version of A. So in this case, there's a word called sthenos, which means strength and power. And those, the kind of thing we think of in virility and the ability to do anything, okay? But what this word before us is asthenos. They put A in front of it. They put the alpha in front of it. And when you add the alpha to it, It makes that word the opposite of this root word, sthenos. So what he's talking about here when he talks about infirmities, he's talking about the opposite of strength. That's where we are, is it not? Sometimes I feel pretty strong. I feel pretty, you know, virile, ready to go and attack the world. But sometimes I have the opposite of that. I feel the opposite of strength. And the truth is, if we understand our humanness like we ought to, then that's where we understand that we are. This word in Greek means feebleness of mind or body. It means frailty. And it's translated properly here as infirmity. And we have infirmities, don't we? We are so weak in and of ourselves. Think about all the writers of the Old Testament and how they expressed it. King David expressed it this way in Psalm 6 in verse 1. He said, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul also is sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Look at David, the king, the great king who slew Goliath, the great king who won many victories. You know, they sang the song about Saul. He slain thousands. David slain his 10,000s. And this man, David, had gotten to the point in his life in Psalm 6 where he said, I am weak and my bones are vexed. And not only that, my soul is sore vexed. I've been there. Psalm 109 and verse 21. He says, But do thou for me, O God, the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good. Deliver thou me, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. You ever been there? You ever been where your heart was wounded within you? I've been there. And sometimes it's because of stuff I've done to myself. Sometimes it's because of decisions I made. But sometimes it's other people have wounded me. He says, my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like the shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down as the locust. We saw a locust in our yard the other day, and you know, they're shedding their skin now, and you see those little carapaces on the trees, but we saw one, a live locust, and they're pretty stout. But when that wind gets going, it'll be blowing everywhere. We had a little grasshopper. We were sitting out under the tree last evening, and all of a sudden this little grasshopper comes blowing through the wind down there right in amongst us, see? And that, think about being tossed like that constantly. He says, I'm tossed up and down as a locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. I become a reproach unto them when they look upon me and shake their heads. He said, Help me, O Lord my God. Help me and save me according to thy mercy. See, King David expressed it. He experienced it and he expressed it. So did Ezekiel. Ezekiel confirmed it in prophesying about the coming destruction of Jerusalem. That's when God told him to go around sighing. You know, I'm so thankful God doesn't require me to do things like that anymore in order to serve him as a preacher. But you know, in those days, they were very expressive. There was one time Ezekiel had to lay on his left side for like 160 days or something like that, Brother Mackey. He had to lay there and then turn over. And then he had to go around and do these expressive, he had to do expressive sermons. I don't have to do expressive sermons. I can preach from the Word of God. But in this case, if you go back over to Ezekiel chapter 21, God tells him, you go around Israel, you go around Jerusalem sighing. And he said, sighing deep from your loins, a soul-shaking sigh. It would be, so he would have to go around going, just constantly, you know, and it would bring some attention, right? And then when the attention was brought to him, then he would tell them why. And it's because of the destruction of Jerusalem that's coming upon it because of the sins that they had committed. And it says this in verse 20, chapter 21 and verse 7, he says, It shall be when they say unto thee, Wherefore sighest thou? Why do you keep doing this? Thou shalt answer for the tidings, because it cometh, the judgment of God. And every heart shall melt, and all hands shall be feeble, and every spirit shall faint, and all knees shall be weak as water. Behold, it cometh, and shall be brought to pass, saith the Lord God. See, Ezekiel knew how feeble we are. We may look strong, but there's a time coming, especially in the face of the judgment of God, when our knees will be weak as water. Jesus acknowledged it when he took the disciples, the three disciples with him in there to the garden, and he told them to watch and pray, and he came back and they were asleep, and he said, you need to wake up and listen and watch what's going on. And then he went back and they came back, they were asleep again. And he said this about them in Matthew 26 and verse 41. He said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing. Let me just say this. The spirit that God has placed within us is unfailingly perfect and pure. It's always willing. And therein lies the conflict, because there's another spirit within us. There's the flesh, the fleshly man, you see. He said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh, do you ever find yourself in that position, child of God? I find myself there all the time. I found myself in that position this week. I found myself in this position this day. Okay? Have you ever been there? Paul experienced it. 2 Corinthians 12, he talks about the thorn in his flesh that God had given, that the Satan had given him. It was a messenger of Satan. God had not given it to him. Satan had given it to him. It says, and he prayed to God three times to take it away, and God didn't take it away. And he said unto me in verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then he said, I'm going to glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. Now, wait a minute. Now we have Paul telling us, I'm weak, I'm afflicted, I have a thorn in the flesh, I am struggling, and yet he's rejoicing and glorying in his infirmities. He's not glorying in the fact of the infirmities, but he's glorying in the power of Christ through the infirmities. But you ever felt that way? You ever been ready to give up? I have. Ever been tired or confused, defeated, ashamed, angry, felt like you weren't able to carry on this charade of a Christian life? That, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm nothing but a hypocrite. And the truth is, I am a hypocrite, because I'm pretending to be something that I don't always live like. I want to be a child of, I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christ follower, you see. I am a child of God. I believe the Lord has quickened me and made me alive, but I struggle with living that out. Somebody says, I don't want to go join that old church, it's full of hypocrites. My answer is, come on down and join us, because you are too. You put on a front, we all do, and we look like sometimes that we're doing so good, but beloved, deep inside, do you not find yourself sometimes struggling? Prone to wander, the song said, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Well, I got good news for you this morning. That's the same cry of Paul that we read in Romans chapter 7 and verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's the same thing the songwriter experienced when he said, poor, weak, and worthless though I am, I have a rich almighty friend. Praise God. Jesus the Savior is his name. He freely loves and without end. That's what I'm preaching to you about this morning. There is hope here for us. When we're tired and weary in the journey, here's some help. God will not forsake us. His Spirit helps us in our weakness. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. No matter how weak and worthless we feel ourselves to be, there is a work that he has performed in us, and he will perform it. He will not forsake us until the day of Jesus Christ. What day is that? The day Jesus Christ comes back to take us home. See, God doesn't just regenerate us and then say, let's see what happens. He is with us every day. And that's what this verse says. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Likewise means that it builds upon all that has gone before. You have been made free from the law of sin and death, we've learned in this very chapter. The Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead now dwells in you, we have read in this chapter. You are led by the Spirit of God, we have read in this chapter. We have just preached about the adoption. You have been adopted in Christ. And now we see that the Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are his children. He will help us, especially in our prayer life. And because, as I said earlier, we're especially weak in that area, are we not? Maybe you're better than me, but I tell you, that's where I struggle. I find myself sometimes going all day and seemingly not ever praying to God. Maybe reading the Scriptures, maybe thinking on things of the Scriptures. But, beloved, we need to be praying to him. As I said earlier, sometimes we find ourselves even unable to pray in the deep, dark valleys. I want to read you what Brother Joe Holder said. Brother Joe Holder wrote in his book, "If we are walking in strong faith and close fellowship with God, prayer flows like an artesian spring." You know, when I'm walking hand in hand with Him, I feel like the prayers are easy, okay? But listen to this. When we stumble or falter in our spiritual walk, prayer becomes more difficult. You're willing to confront the simple truth that you, even you, have some personal infirmities or weaknesses, are you not? Lord, deliver us. Now listen to this, what Brother Joe wrote. Lord, deliver us all from those pretentious, perfect Christians who, according to their description of themselves, never stumble, never falter, or even struggle with the slightest weakness. I hope that everyone here this morning understands that that's not the kind of so-called Christian we're to be. Beloved, there are no perfect Christians. I read about one over in Luke, the 18th chapter, I believe it is. He went down to the front of the temple, and he prayed thus with himself. He said, "Lord, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are. I tithe, I do all these great things," and I'm paraphrasing, of course, you go read it. He said, "I'm sure not like this publican here. I'm a good man, God." And he's standing there in the front of everybody praying this prayer, whereas that publican that he was pointing out would not lift up so much as his eyes toward heaven. I have a vision of him standing at the back of the temple with his head bowed down, and he smote upon his breast saying, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Beloved, that's where we all need to be within our spirits. Now listen, we ought to strive to serve Him. We ought to strive to live right, and discipleship ought to be our goal every day, is as perfect a discipleship as we can get. But we will always fail. We always falter. And beloved, there are no perfect Christians. We need to be mindful of that publican's prayer, "God, have mercy upon me, a sinner." Sometimes we find ourselves unable to pray. Sometimes we don't know how to pray, even though Jesus gave us the model prayer. You remember the model prayer? It's found over in the 7th chapter, I believe it is, or 6th chapter of the book of Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, you know, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." He says, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Okay? But sometimes do we not lose that model prayer in the struggle of life? Sometimes we use that prayer as a cry for a lifeline, like Peter sinking in the waves. You know, I had a question from somebody several years ago about prayer, and this person sent me an email about it and said, "I really don't know how to pray." She said, I just try to talk to God like He's there next to me, like a friend, and try to tell Him things. And I sent her an email back. I said, "Sister, that's the best description of prayer I know. You know, God is our great God, but He's also our friend. He loves us with an everlasting love. And through the blood of Christ, He has made us His friends, and we can talk to Him." This is not a sermon about how to pray, but I just want to say this to you. Prayer, there are public prayers. We had a very sincere public prayer, good public prayer before we started these services today. And some of you men, many of you pray very eloquent and sincere public prayers, and that's good. But I'll tell you, beloved, we don't always have time to formulate those words, do we? We don't always have the eloquence that maybe sometimes God blesses us with when we're called upon to pray. Sometimes we just need to be, you know, one thing that we can do, he says, to pray always. He said, Paul says, pray without ceasing. That means driving down the road. But please don't close your eyes and bow your head and do that. Be in the attitude of prayer. Be in the constant conversation with Christ. You see, you can do that. An attitude of prayer is one where you're constantly seeking out His help as if He were seated beside you in the car, as if He were walking beside you in the way, as if He were right before you. I've never seen Jesus with my physical eyes, but beloved, I have talked with Him many, many times.
We're going to pause the message here for now. We want you to join us again tomorrow, where we will hear the conclusion to this sermon. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com. where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.